Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we begin with our first hymn. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishments. Let thy heart be sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent through their sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Men of Galilee,
why do you stand looking into heaven?
Hallelujah.
This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven
will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Hallelujah.
Clap your hands, all peoples.
Shout to God with all songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared.
A great King over all the earth.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
God reigns over the nations.
God sits on his holy throne.
Men of Galilee,
why do you stand looking into heaven? Hallelujah.
This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven
will come to the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Hallelujah.
And with thy spirit.
Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Question 63 from the Catechism, the New Catechism. If someone is thinking about having an abortion, what should I do? What if someone has already had an abortion? Facing an unplanned pregnancy is very difficult. The mother is sometimes urged or pressured to abort her unborn child for various reasons. But none of those reasons can change the value of the life of the child already in the womb. If you or someone you know is pregnant and considering abortion, ask God to help you think about this in the light of His Word and the gift of life that He has given in this unborn child. Ask Him for wisdom and strength to do His will. Taking the child's life is not only wrong, but will also add an even greater burden of guilt and grief. Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Corinthians 6. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Do not face this alone, but seek the help of compassionate Christians. Pray for courage to talk with your parents and ask for their support and assistance in the pregnancy and childbirth. Talk with your pastor, who will listen in complete confidentiality and speak Christ's word of forgiveness for you. He can also offer additional resources, such as pregnancy help centers, where medical and counseling services are provided. 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. If you or someone you know has already had an abortion, do not let the world's ideas minimize the sin or allow guilt to make it seem unforgivable. Abortion, like all sin, is to be confessed to God so that we hear and trust his forgiveness for Christ's sake. Pastors will help by listening compassionately as we confess this or any other sin, and we will absolve us, declaring to us that Christ died for us and rose again to forgive all our sins. Christian counseling is available to deal with ongoing burdens of pain, loss, and guilt. Psalm 103. God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. 1 John 1. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Old Testament reading for the observance of Ascension It's from the second chapter of 2 Kings, beginning with verse 5. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire. It then separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. And when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is from the first chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 1. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, though, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles through whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many, many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit when he has come upon you. And you shall bear witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. God is the one with the shout out, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. You ascended on high, leading a host of
chapter of St. Mark, beginning with verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And when they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Here endeth our gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the great and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next sermon. Thank you. Ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Nevertheless, Mark tells you that he continued to work with his disciples. Now, this may be difficult for you to understand. I mean, if Jesus has ascended into heaven and is seated at God's right hand, how can he be with his church here upon earth? Now, many try to reconcile this by saying that Jesus is human body is up in heaven at God's right hand, but his divine nature can be anywhere. So while Jesus' body must stay up in heaven, his divine spirit can be with you down here upon earth. This is the conclusion of many. Because Jesus is a human, and a human can only be in one place at one time. Nevertheless, dear saints in Christ, this creates serious problems. You confess one Lord Jesus Christ, not one Lord Jesus who is human, and another Lord Jesus who is divine. The divine Lord Jesus and the human Lord Jesus are one and the same Lord Jesus. John's gospel tells you that the Word became flesh. The divine Word did not simply possess human flesh for a little while, but actually became flesh. The Son of God assumed human nature so that he truly is and always will be a human being. This is why the angel Gabriel told Mary that the child to be born to her will be called the Son of God. The Virgin Mary gave birth to God's Son. When you speak of Jesus Christ, you always speak of him as both human and divine. He is a man, and he is God. So whatever he does as a man, he also does as God. And whatever he does as God, he also does as a man. Whether that is being born, healing the blind, walking on water, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, or ascending into heaven. This is why Peter tells his Jewish leaders in Jerusalem that you killed the author of life. The author of life is none other than God himself. God cannot die. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ, who is true God, died. Therefore, you rightly say, our God died upon the cross. And Paul, speaking to the pastors in the church in Ephesus, refers to God's blood when he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now God is a spirit, and spirits do not have blood. Nevertheless, God became a human being, so God indeed has blood, which he shed upon the cross for you. If Jesus Christ is not a human being, then he cannot take your place under the law, nor could he die upon the cross in your place. And if Jesus Christ is not God, then his death for your sins would not be a sufficient price to pay for your sins. You see, unless Jesus is both God and man, you cannot be saved. So you need a divine and a human Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand, interceding for you at all times. And you need a divine and a human Jesus Christ working with you here upon earth at all times if you are to be saved. But how can Jesus be both God at God the Father's right hand and here upon earth? Well, you first need to understand that God's right hand is not a place up in the sky that you can find with a satellite. Rather, God's right hand is his right hand of power. There, Jesus is at God's right hand does not mean that he is stuck in one place, but rather that he is filled with unlimited power and authority. Psalm 139 emphasizes that God's right hand is everywhere when he says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. As the Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus' ascension to the Christians in Ephesus in the first chapter, when he says God raised Christ and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is to be named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him as head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And again, later on in the same letter, he writes, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That Jesus is at God's right hand means that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. It means that he is with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' human nature does not limit him in any way. Jesus, your God, has the power to be in all places at one time in his body while remaining human. This means that Jesus can be and is indeed with you in church, his church upon the earth. You see, Jesus is everywhere, but he is not everywhere for you in the same way. Mark tells you that the Lord continued to work with them. What did he work with them to do? He worked with them to confirm the message he sent them to preach. Jesus said to them, "Go to all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Jesus works with the proclamation of the gospel. Where can that be found? Where his gospel is preached. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died upon the cross to save sinners. Where did Jesus send his disciples to proclaim this message of good news? He sent them out into all the world. Every human being needs to hear the gospel. This is the urgent command your Lord Jesus gives his church before his departure. And it is a task that he continues to work with in his church even today. But the gospel message that God's own Son had taken on human flesh to die for the sins of the entire world. And that is a necessary message to be proclaimed to everyone in the world. It tells you that the world needs this gospel. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone needs your sins forgiven. Everyone needs to be rescued from the wrath of God and eternal condemnation. This is the greatest problem you all face. And so you all need this gospel above anything else. Well, you might try to deny that your sin is such a big deal, that you need this gospel above all things. You can't ignore your own sins by making excuses and justifying everything you think, say, and do. You can ignore God's law so that your conscience doesn't feel guilty. You can cut people out of your life who make you feel uncomfortable, whom you've hurt, or who have hurt you. You can take pills to take away the pain in your body that reminds you that you are indeed mortal. You can ignore the death around you by plugging yourself into Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime, and binge-watch shows which distract you from reality. You can block out your conscience and God's word from your heart with trivial conversations about things that really do not matter. You can do all these things and more to try to keep the reality of your sin from making you feel uncomfortable. But eventually the reality of sin will strike. You're going to die. And judgment comes after that. Jesus' final command to proclaim the gospel to the whole world emphasizes to you what is most important. You need this gospel. You need what Jesus gave his life for you upon the cross and what he continues to work to give you today. The forgiveness of sins and eternal peace with God. You need to turn from your sins. In Luke's account of the gospel, he says that Jesus declared that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Christ's name to all nations. To repent means to turn. When you think of repenting, you think of saying sorry for your sins. And that is good. You should be sorry for the wrong you've done. Nevertheless, there is a misconception about repentance. Many think that when you repent, you then try to make up for the wrong you've done in order to be accepted by God. But Christian repentance does not mean that you turn from your sins to your own works in any attempt to appease God's wrath. Rather, repenting means that you turn from your sins to God's grace for forgiveness, for Christ's sake. This is why Jesus declares, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. Jesus does not say, whoever does enough good works to make up for your sins will be saved. Jesus does not say, whoever lives a perfect life will be saved. No, Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So what are you to believe? That Jesus died upon the cross for your sins and rose again for your justification. That God forgives you and is at peace with you on account of Christ. This is the gospel that Jesus commanded to be proclaimed to the whole earth. There must be something else. Certainly your eternal salvation cannot hinge simply upon whether or not you believe a promise from God. Yes, indeed it does. When you believe the promise from God that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, you receive forgiveness and eternal salvation. To make it crystal clear that Jesus demands nothing else in addition to this faith for your salvation, he then says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. Not whoever does not prove to be a good enough Christian will be condemned. Not whoever is the worst criminal will be condemned. Rather, whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, unbelief is the only damnable sin, because unbelief throws away God's salvation, which he offers you through Christ. It is just as Jesus said in the third chapter of John's Gospel, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So it is irrefutable that faith alone saves. So what does this talk about baptism? Is baptism some work required by you in addition to faith to save you? No. Rather, baptism is God's work, which joins you to Christ. And just as with the proclamation of the gospel, baptism does you no good unless you believe. Through faith, you receive the benefits of baptism, which include forgiveness of sins and rescue from death and the devil. Baptism gives you these benefits because it is not just plain water, but it is water combined with God's word and promise of God. Baptism carries with it the power and authority of Christ himself, who commands baptism. So when a child is baptized, although it looks like the pastor is pouring on water, it is Jesus Christ himself from the right hand of God the Father who is cleansing that child of sin. God lavishes the gospel upon you in so many ways, through the preaching of his holy word, through baptism, through the absolution of the Lord's Supper. When the pastor forgives you your sins and is set by the command of Christ, you must believe that Christ himself, who sits at the Father's right hand, is forgiving you with all authority in heaven and on earth. When you eat the Lord's Supper, you must not believe that this is mere bread and wine, but that Jesus himself, who fills all things, is present with his very body and blood in order to forgive your sins and to strengthen your faith. Baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, and the preaching of God's word, these are all gospel, and all their benefits are received through faith in God's promise. Dear saints in Christ, yes, Jesus seems far away from you because he's at the Father's right hand. He's able to be with you in his gospel with the authority and power to give you eternal life through faith. And he has worked with the first disciples to confirm their word with signs that still works which with you to produce fruits of faith that glorify God. Christ Jesus is at God's, the Father's right hand. Therefore, he is with his church here upon earth also. Amen.
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 Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Away from thy presence and take
whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord, since your Son has gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet, ascended in triumph and seated at your right hand, so open our lips to sing praises to our King, rejoicing and living in the truth of his victory for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of glory, clothe Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor, and our pastors, with your Spirit's power from on high, that we may be equipped to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us with your families into the household of God. Continue to bless all Christian homes, that fathers and mothers may faithfully lead their children by word and deed to call upon you as Father. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, since your Son will shatter kings when he executes judgments upon the earth and nations, keep Donald and all our leaders from acting in ways which earn them your wrath. Bless them with wisdom to govern in accordance with your righteous ways. Watch over, guard, and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have seated Christ at your right hand for our deliverance. Remember with those who are afflicted with illness and injury, including Robin, Carol, Steve, Kathy, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, and Billy. Give them health and strength according to your will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake, you will raise them in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Ruth, R.T., Josephine, and Jenny, continually by your word and spirit, that they may boldly keep the covenant to which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, grant that all who receive the Holy Supper this day may partake in Christ's very body and blood in a worthy manner, rejoicing in the forgiveness and life they received therein. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
We should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life, Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah. take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ. This is the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin.
Thank you.
risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you went to death for your sin.
Thank you.
thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
And give thee peace.
For where my treasure went, there